Glory to God. Thank you. Holy Father, we thank you for your hand upon us this day. We thank you for the anointing of Jesus. Lord, we think of your word where Jesus declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Father, I thank you that as we look to Jesus today, that the anointing that is on Jesus is upon his church. And we thank you, Father, that as your anointing rests upon us, that you release power to be able to receive your word and to be able to receive the faith that is in your word. We thank you, God, that you are able to take us from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And Father, we're about to enter into the year 2010. And God, we're asking, Lord, for a fresh anointing upon us, Lord, a fresh move of your Spirit upon us, God, even a wave of your glory upon us, Lord, that we might see to the extent of what you want to pour out upon us in 2010. Lord, help us to be able to understand what you desire to do. Help us not to become complacent about the things of the Spirit in 2010, Lord. But Father, stir in us a curiosity. Stir in us a desire to learn more about you and to know how to function in the kingdom of God in a greater measure than what we've ever known before. We thank you for this ability that comes through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I was thinking this morning as we were worshiping about Jesus, how he has come into this world, into this earth. And I wonder what took place before Jesus ever came and how it was all planned out. And how the Father, you know, created, he spoke the world into existence, the Bible says. And so, you know, when the Scripture says in Genesis about how God spoke the world into existence, really some theologians are convinced that God sang the world into existence, that it wasn't just a spoken word, but he sang it into existence. That there's something about the concept of music and singing that carries the anointing of God differently than just speaking it out. But that when he spoke the world into existence, that there was actually a rhyme to it. And many believe who have studied this for years that there is a rhythmic action to everything that God has created, a rhythmic action to the world itself. And I'm sure that when God, when they were looking at creation and there was a time that God, you know, they came together and they seen what man had got himself into, how man had missed it and had really sinned against God, cut himself off from the presence of God. And Jesus and God the Father, I'm sure, and the Holy Spirit were talking, and whoever else is up there talking, maybe the angels, they were talking about what are we going to do about this situation? Man has lost connection with his Creator. And he's on his own down there, worse than on his own. He's got another tempter down there tempting him to go the wrong way. And so it was determined that somebody had to go and rescue these guys, you and I. And they must have been looking around, wondering who would go. And Jesus put up his hand and said, like Isaiah, "Here I am, Father, send me." So he came into the world to save us, to bring us into eternal life, to bring us back to the place where we might have connection with him again by his Holy Spirit. And so Jesus came. He came into the world as a birth. So they had to design this and say, okay, you're going to go into the earth now and you're going to redeem man. And because man got himself in this trouble in the first place, man is the one who disobeyed me. So there's going to have to be a man who's going to have to go through the penalty of paying the price for disobeying and walking, and he's going to have to walk in obedience. So how are we going to do that? How are you going to come into the earth and act and live like a man and pay the price as a man for what man did? Well, then it was determined that man was to come, that Jesus was to come then. He would have to come through the womb of a woman. He would have to be born into this earth in order to have legal right as a man to take the price and the penalty of sin and to be able to redeem mankind. And so the brilliant plan of God came forth. Jesus was born of a virgin and came into this world and was exactly obedient to God in every way, shape, or form. And he became the Savior of the world because he was obedient as a man. I want us to get that down. Jesus was obedient and as a man. He was God, is God, always will be God, but Jesus came to earth as an individual, really in many ways as a man like any other man in every way except that he was sinless. He did not sin. He wasn't born with a sin nature, did not sin once he got here. So sin never found an entrance into his life. And so he was the perfect Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God, who was to be able to pay the price for mankind so that a spotless bride could be redeemed unto himself. It's an awesome story when you think of it, really, isn't it? It's an awesome story. And if we read through the scriptures over the last number of weeks, we found how the whole historical content of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is all supernatural. That the Holy Spirit moved in every situation. There was angels involved. Holy Spirit was involved. There was prophetic words, prophets involved. There was all kinds of spiritual activity around the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, if you follow Jesus' life now, you also follow the fact that there was supernatural activity continually throughout his life in many ways. But we must remember that was a man. Jesus, the man, was the one who worked all these miracles and signs and wonders. Jesus, the man, worked these things from the spirit realm. I want to go a little bit further and suggest to you that Jesus was, in many, many ways, except from the fact that, again, the old sinless part of it, he was a normal man. He wasn't a freak. He was a normal man. He wasn't a man that was born in a world with some kind of great energy even to go in certain direction, other than he loved God and wanted to serve God. He was a normal man. He never really had any powers himself outside of what the Holy Spirit did through him. Jesus was moved upon by the Holy Spirit to do the miraculous things that he did. And so again, it was a very miraculous thing that happened. The miraculous worked throughout his life continually. And so the Holy Spirit was involved in Jesus' life from beginning to end. And he's still involved today. Now, I want to talk to you this morning a bit about the Holy Spirit because I feel that one of the things that todo de baba sin de kosodo bodo shin de la baba sanda la mandila baboshite lo sondo koli kakala baba sanda la mandushite soto lo bodo shin de la kakala mandosite barasondo la sete keke la baba shinde sondo oh la baba shinde kosende la soto le ha sondo li kakala mandasondo Libaro shinde sondo la manda sende che site la barasanda sondo baroshite la kakala manda sanda la kakeda begadela baroshite sinde ko sondo la mandoshite la keke. 2010. What will it bring forth? There are men in years past who have looked into the future and declared this would take place and declared this would take place. Some have seen correctly. Others have misled people because of their desire to make a name for themselves. But today the Spirit of God desires to speak to his children to bring them to a place where they will enter in to the kingdom of God in a measure that they have not walked into before, in an experiential measure. More than just a knowledge of the kingdom of God, but actually experiencing the kingdom and its benefits. For there are those within the church who have walked away from the moving of the Holy Spirit and have decided to do good things, have decided to allow themselves to be taken up with good things that would seem productive in this natural realm. But the Holy Spirit does come to bring life to the works of man, and every work outside being initiated by the Holy Spirit is a work of the flesh. And the work of the flesh will be burnt away in the day when Jesus comes. For the Holy Spirit is the one who determines the work that will last forever. The Holy Spirit is the one who can bring it about with the help and hand of man. For man must yield himself to the Holy Spirit to be able to see the beauty of the kingdom of God released in your path. So in 2010, be ever diligent to open wide your heart to the moving of the gift of God in your lives. And you will notice a new life spring forth. A new life spring forth. Remember the words that have been spoken through the holy written and anointed word of God, that in the end times, even the elect will be deceived and will grow cold if possible. So be warned even this day to be ever cautious of being diligent, to have a sharp desire for the Spirit of Jesus moving within you. Guard yourselves, for the things of the enemy will increase and bring forth even more pressure upon the church. But I have given you more than enough to withstand that pressure, says God. I have given you a shield. I have given you a hope. I have given you a protection. But you need to take it up. You need to walk in it. You need to stay under my hand, and you will be protected from the things of the enemy. For even in the dark days ahead, there will become a great light that you will be able to walk in, and that light that shines in darkness will be able to lead many to righteousness. And oh, they'll be talking about it even unto eternity, about how many were swept into the kingdom because of the work of the Holy Spirit and man's willingness to yield to that work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Ola babashinde kosondo la barasinde. Let's just yield to the Holy Spirit a little bit. Let's all pray in tongues together for a moment. Shela babasondo kosite la barasata. Lisoto lo kokola barasende boroshite la barasanda. Lebabe site la kokola babashinde. Leba boshinde la barasondo la kakide begede la barasanda. Lisoto la boboshite la kakide begede la barasanda. Le sete kesinde kosondo lo mambasinde bebebesite la barasanda. Lisoto kokola mandasende beresite kasota la badise. Haha soto lobabo. Lobabo she la baba sende kokolo babasinde. Le barasondo lo mandala badise te. Kesende kosite la babasondo. Sinde cosondo lo mondoshite la barasando la babo. Tila babasanda la mandasite la cacete begede shegete la cocola babasanda. Sende boroshite la barasata la cacete begede shegete la cocoto. Sinde cosondo lo mondoshite la cacete. Hallelujah. Shila baroshite. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again and bring you with me so that you can be where I am. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That word there, when he talks about prepare a place, go to prepare a place, it actually means go to prepare a position for you. Go to prepare a place or a position for you in the kingdom. You see, in the kingdom of God, everybody has to have a position. You know that? In the kingdom of God, everybody has to have a position. Nothing out of place in the kingdom of God. In other words, in the kingdom of God, when we all get to heaven, we're not going to be just thrown into a room, you know, and everybody, or thrown into even a planet, or thrown into heaven itself, and everybody just do what they want to do. No, everybody's going to have a position. Everybody's going to have a place. Just the same way as every part of your body has a place on your body. Every single one of us are going to have a position in the kingdom of God. And if we will be diligent in the position that God has put us in down here, it prepares us for the position that we'll have throughout eternity. Now, this is one thing that you and I have to learn as Christians, is that we are people that God is preparing. God is shaping and molding for something that's going to take place in the future, maybe on the earth, but maybe in eternity. Maybe for what has to take place in the kingdom of God upon the earth. God will prepare us. Everybody is to prepare themselves in life for any kind of vocation that has any kind of meaning. How many people ever became a doctor who never prepared? How many people who ever became a lawyer who never prepared? I mean, we prepare ourselves for things in this natural realm, don't we? Why do we do that in the natural realm? Because you have to do it in the spiritual realm. When you see something happen in the natural realm, make sure that you realize that there is a form of it or a type of it that takes place in the spiritual realm. We talk about, we laugh, and we love to laugh, and we love to experience joy. And the reason why that we can laugh in this natural realm is because there is a laugh in the spirit. The reason why we can sing in this natural realm is because there's a song in the spirit. We can sing in the spirit. You know, there are things that take place in the natural realm sometimes that we look at and we even prepare ourselves for, but we don't connect it to the spirit. I'm convinced, I can't really take you to scripture in this really, but I'm convinced, because we have, even in the natural realm, vehicles of transportation, that in the spirit there's going to be vehicles of transportation. I've heard people, I'm saying I can't take you to the scripture and prove that, and I can't prove that to you necessarily from the scripture, but I can tell you about circumstances where people have been traveled in the spirit on certain modes of transportation. I think of Jesse Duplantis one time when he was in his hotel room and he was praying, and he saw that all of a sudden he was in the spirit. And he was in heaven, and he seen people coming up to heaven on something like a tram. You see those big trams on the high mountains, especially in Western Canada, and they go up on a tram. He said, I seen them getting out of some kind of transportation device like that. Another testimony I heard of Kenneth Copeland one time said he was traveling and flying. He flies his own plane. Him and another guy were out in a really clear night, and they were flying. And he said, you could see all the stars. It was just beautiful. And he said, all of a sudden, both of us seen this strange-looking vehicle. And there was two men in it. And they were looking back down on earth. He said, in the spirit, he said, somehow they could hear those men talking in that vehicle. And they were looking down on earth and saying, boy, if we knew then what we know now, we sure could have give the devil a run for it while we were down on earth. And he talked about seeing a certain kind of transportational device. And I only say that to say this. Take serious the things that God instructs us to do here in the natural. Take very serious. And even if God is instructing you to do something in the natural and you're not prepared for it, then get prepared. Do something to prepare yourself quickly, because things are going to move pretty fast in the days ahead. We have to take these lessons that we learn from the natural and run with them. Be diligent to carry out the things that God is showing us here in the natural. But don't try to do it without the Spirit. Excuse me. Now listen to this scripture. Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, which is debauchery or dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's just read a little bit more of that. Ephesians 5:18. Verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now listen, this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of God written in this book. This will tell you how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. It will. Now listen here. Let me read again. Verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. In other words, he's saying, do not be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit, and by being, how to get filled with the Spirit, it tells us in the next verse. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's how you stay filled with the Spirit. You speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, when's the last time you got up and started singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to your wife or to your husband? When's the last time you did that? Well, when's the last time you did it to your kids? When's the last time? I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but I'll bet most of you, of us, couldn't say anything that we've done it other than the last time we've come together in worship. We just did that. We just sang songs and hymns, spiritual songs. We just sang those songs. Now, can you see how important it is to be involved in that in Sunday morning when we come together to sing? Can you see how important that is when it comes to be staying filled with the Spirit? That when we come to church and when we come to worship, we get plugged in, we get actively involved. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm sitting back here and there's so many things that distract me, I find it hard. If that's the case, there's an alley here that you can walk up here and you can come right up here where we can't see very much. And you won't get distracted. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, I have to say one thing. I'm just going to tell you my experiences. It might be your experience, might be different. But from my experience, one of the things that's been the greatest benefit in my life is one of the things, I'm not getting into the other, but verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. There has been something in me that arose in me from the time I was born again that constantly runs over in my spirit a thankfulness for God and the things that he's done in my life. And I find it disturbing sometimes. I think this may be the reason. I find it disturbing sometimes when I find people talking negatively about certain things. I find that it just goes crossways with where I want to be or where with a thankfulness for God. It just, to me, what I hear, you may be different now, but when I hear somebody complaining about something, what I hear is somebody's complaining against God. That's just the way it is. That's what I hear. I hear that if somebody is, saying something negatively about what God is providing. And it just seems to go crossways. But even as I read this and say this to you, I am going to do something different from this day forward. I'm going to do more of what I have, more of speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. I'm going to do that more. I'm going to cultivate that more. I really believe I've got the thankfulness down to a degree, but I want to work on this part. So, honey, I hope you don't like... I know, I hope it doesn't have to be good singing all the time. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is a way that we stay filled with the Spirit. Do we want to stay filled with the Spirit? Do we want the Spirit to influence in our lives continually all the time? You see, and so in order to do this, I really want to enter in Sunday morning. I mean, I do it other times. I'm sorry, I probably do it more than most of you because, I mean, I'm in here lots of time. Last night I was in here worshiping God and praising and singing God and so forth, and that happened throughout the week and so forth. But, Sunday morning, ought to be just a practice run. Because, you know, it's so much easier when everybody comes together. We all start singing and you know, we can get caught up in that. We can, even if we're feeling really down and out about it, if we'll try just a little bit, we can get caught up into somebody else's enthusiasm. If we'll try just a little bit, we can get caught up into that. But if we don't, if we refuse to just, I'm going to praise the way I feel like it today, and I feel down, or I feel grumpy, or I feel dissatisfied. Well, that doesn't tell me, that doesn't sound to me like singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. No, it says, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord also. Well, let's just talk a little bit about this person of the Holy Spirit that we're supposed to stay filled up with. Let's just look at a few things that the Lord says about him today. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, well, let's look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray, or I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Talking about the Holy Spirit here, he says that the world cannot receive the Spirit that Jesus said is going to come from the Father to the believer. The world cannot receive it. So don't get all upset when the world does things that upsets you, because you're on a different scale. You know, it says that Jesus said the Father is going to send us a Spirit to be our Spirit of truth. He'll be our helper. He'll be the one who abides with us. And I like to put it this way as well, the one who guides us. The world is looking for a spirit guide, but the church is too. The world is looking for guides. Well, what's the name of your spirit? Well, it may be Tom. Or what's the name of the spirit that's guiding you? Well, it may be Fred. What about you, Rover? The world is looking for spiritual guides. And this is not uncommon, folks. This is a whole lot more real than what we think. The world is looking for spirit guides, and there are those who train others how to receive their spirit guide. And everybody's got a different spirit, and they're all demonic. They're devil guides. But we're looking for a spirit guide as well. And his name is Holy Spirit. And we all have the same one. It's the same Holy Ghost in every single one of us. That's why we can be so meshed together. That's why we can be one, because we have the same Spirit guiding us in life. He's the Spirit of truth. These other spirit guides are spirits of lying. They'll lead people into different ways of trying to get joy or peace or contentment in life that are not godly at all. They're lying devils. They're lying spirits. But we have the Spirit of truth. Jesus himself said that he would give us the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. He said he wouldn't leave us as orphans. Now let's look at the verse 26 here. But the helper, well, verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, in other words, being here in the flesh, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now notice here that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes from the Father. Jesus asked the Father, and he sends the Holy Spirit to us. So the Holy Spirit really comes from the character and person and presence of God. So as we're moved by the Holy Spirit to do things, we're actually moved by God. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit is one. And so he is sending us the Spirit of truth to be our comforter and our guide. Now let's look over at John chapter 15, verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you that you love one another. Have you noticed how often the Scripture tells us that we are to love one another? How often the Scripture tells us love is so much involved in having the activity of the Holy Spirit work in our lives? Love is holds us together. It bonds us together. And you know, the Bible says that God is love. The correct translation is love flows out of God. And it'll flow into any heart that'll receive it. We are to love one another with the love of God that God put on the inside of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So here we say, here Jesus is with us. Can you imagine if Jesus was standing here in the flesh now, and we could see the holes in his hands and his feet, and we could see the scars that he paid for us, and he was here, and I'm just imagining here now that what would happen would be that there'd be such a powerful presence. There's a song just heard recently, Imagine, and it kind of talks about imagining what it'd be like to be in the throne room with Jesus. And one of the lines said, would I sing or could I even speak? But if he was here right now, and he said to us, now look, it's great being here with you. And it's great that my presence is stretched out across you. But it is to more your advantage that I go away right now. We'd all be saying, no, stay. We can't imagine how it could be more advantageous for us for you to leave. We can't imagine that it would be better for us if we go. But he said, if I don't go, I can't send the one to you who's going to be your guide throughout your life. I won't be able to ask the Father to be able to send him to you, to be your comforter and your guide. Now the Greek word for Holy Spirit here, or helper as the translation talks about, it talks about an individual who stands in a courtroom arguing a case on your behalf. An advocate is another word that's used for the Holy Spirit and sometimes for Jesus, especially in 1 John. But he's the one who is our helper. More so, some translations call him the comforter, but a helper is more the word that is more appropriate to be used for the Holy Spirit here. Because a comforter speaks to us sometimes about one who comes and has pity on us, or, is just kind of comforting us in a terrible situation. But a helper comes to do everything to get us out of that terrible situation. And the Holy Spirit is a helper who comes to bring us out of bondage into light. Even once we're saved, there's many of us, there's all kinds of demonic forces that are harassing and affecting Christians today. And the helper comes to help us get rid of those things, to do what we can't do. And the term is used that he might stand in a courtroom and argue our case before the Lord. Now, we know the accuser is there trying to accuse us. But the helper is there to be able to bring forth the truth and reality of things and not the accusations of things. Now, if you were in a house or in a place somewhere, and you were, there was somebody who was killed, and you were there, and you were in the place all right, but there was other people there as well, and you were charged with the murder. It wasn't you that did it, it was somebody else. But a lot of the evidence is there. Circumstantial evidence is there that you're the one that killed this individual. But you knew someone that was there that saw who it was that killed the person. Well, you would have to tell your lawyer that information now, wouldn't you? You would have to speak to him and tell him, listen, I want you to prove, because it's his job to prove, I want you to prove that I'm innocent, and this is the way that you can prove it. This person was there, saw someone else kill that individual. He'd have to know that information. And then that advocate would pass it on to the jury or the judge. But if you didn't tell them, you could go to jail, and probably, and in some cases, the electric chair, if you didn't give them that information. If you didn't stand up and say, this is the why I'm innocent. Well, the Holy Spirit is our helper, he's our advocate, and he expects you and I to be able to take the word of God and state our position in Christ so that the enemy doesn't have a right to harass and be on us. So we have to take the word and establish our position in the kingdom. I go to prepare a place for you, a position in the kingdom. You don't have to wait to get the other side to realize what your position in Christ. You need to take the word of God and realize your position, where you're at today. Who are you in Christ? Are you anybody? Are you somebody that the enemy can kick around? Are you somebody that the enemy has a right to kick around? Well, you might say, no, that's not right at all. Well, you have to take the word of God and start declaring why the enemy doesn't have a right to kick you around. Declare it. Bring it forth. Give your advocate something to work with. Give your helper something to work with. Remember, he's the helper, not the one that's going to do it all. He's the helper. He's the Holy One. Now, let's listen to the Word of God again in John 16, talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Talking about the Holy Spirit now. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, it seems like there are some things that nobody's going to understand, even from the lips of Jesus, unless the Holy Spirit help them. Because Jesus said, there's things that I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. You can't understand them. You're not going to be able to get the revelation unless the Holy Spirit is upon you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. I thank you. Thank the Father that we got the Holy Spirit now. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. He, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority. This is important. You see, so often we try to speak on our own authority. So often we try to speak on our own authority when it's the authority of Jesus that we have to lean on. And we have to be able to use the name of Jesus in order for the demonic powers to know that we are coming in the authority of Jesus. Remember the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, where they seen people casting out devils, and they decided, oh, we're going to do that too. We're going to get involved in casting out devils. So they went in and started to try to cast a demon out of this man. And the demon spoke up and said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? And we know the scripture. The demons jumped on all the seven of them, tore all the clothes off them, and sent them out naked. You can get yourself into a lot of trouble if you try something trying to use somebody else's authority if it isn't Jesus. We have to walk in the authority of God in order to see the fruit and benefits of the authority of God manifested in our lives. Now, wow. See, my time is pretty well gone here, but I just want us to take a note. Let me read just a couple of notes here just to give you a clear picture of who the helper is. In secular Greek, it is used especially, this word, paraclete, the Greek word for that we use for the Holy Spirit. It is used especially of one called into a court to help another. I find that sometime when I'm in prayer, that it seems to me like I'm in a courtroom declaring things. This is most often find when I'm praying in other tongues. It seems like I'm in a courtroom stating my case. And I feel like it's not only stating a case for me, but stating a case of why the kingdom of God is supposed to come to the earth. There are things that we can, places that we can get into that it seems like we're in a courtroom. And we're being moved by the Holy Spirit to bring out these things. Now, one theologian summarized the linguistic evidence as follows. The history of the term in the whole sphere of known Greek and Hellenistic usage outside the New Testament yields the clear picture of a legal advisor or helper or advocate in court. This is what this word is for the Holy Spirit talks about, is an advocate in court. Theologian Leon Morris, a leading New Testament scholar, observed that in modern times, comfort has come to mean a meaning like consolation. It points to making the best of a difficult situation, whereas the idea of the Holy Spirit is providing assistance that will deliver one from a difficult situation. That means a whole lot more. It is denoting one who was called alongside as a helper and a defender and a friend in court. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And he's here for you and I to enjoy throughout life. Now, I can see my time is gone and I can't share. I'll look at this in a couple of days ahead. But one thing I want us to realize, the Bible says many times where the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it also says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is supposed to be a part of our lives. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be in everything, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Great, we do it here on Sunday morning. Do we do it on Monday morning? Do we allow that into every aspect of our lives in order so that he has greater influence? Or are we just doing it when we feel like it? I don't know about you folks. You may be different than me. But if I did that only the only times I felt like it, I'd be so dry, like an old boot that you'd want to get rid of. I'd be so dry if I only did that when I felt like it. It's not even faith when you do it when you feel like it. It's really faith when you do it when you don't feel like it. Because you have faith in God's word that it is true, that if I do it, this is the result. And so we practice it. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual song and singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Everything in life requires a certain degree of diligence. Great art is not a result of a fleeting inspiration. You know, there's no artist really that comes all of a sudden. They're not an artist at all, really. And all of a sudden they get this wonderful inspiration and they can do this wonderful thing. No, it comes out of a life of diligence in that particular area. Great art is done by the great artists. Great music comes from great musicians. In other words, they've worked at it all their lives in many cases, being diligent to carry out these things. If you and I are not diligent in walking with the Holy Spirit, staying filled up with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, being thankful always, submitting to one another in the fear of God, if this isn't a part of life, if we are not being diligent at it, and when I say being diligent at it, that means work at it. Means work at it. If we're not being diligent at it, we're not going to get it, folks. We're not going to get it. You might say, well, Pastor, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and wasn't even expecting it. That happens. I know that. Just because you experience something one time, don't ever think that that's the way it's supposed to work all the time. Somebody comes in this world and experiences life through the birth canal of mother. Is that the only way we can experience life? No. We can draw on the life that God gives us. So we have to be diligent at it. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's another way of being really diligent at it, at being staying filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a diligence to following Jesus that most of the church is not interested in. Most of the church wants something that makes me feel good, makes me happy, now. But throw out any of this discipline that we so desperately need. Well, I hope we've come to a place where we realize that if we're going to enjoy the goodness of God and the precious Holy Spirit's activity in our lives, then you and I are going to have to be diligent. Oh, you can enjoy it now and then just by missing hit. You can enjoy it now and then just by being in the presence of somebody who's paid the price to go with God. You can enjoy it, but it's going to be very surface. It's not going to be lasting, and it's not going to go deep within us where we're all alone, nobody else around, and we don't feel alone. When we're all alone and we're bummed out about something, but yet we know we're not alone. Recently, strange, sometimes things, funny things happen to you. We were talking the other day about, me and a couple other ministers were talking about the importance of a father in a person's life. And I said to them, you know, it is strange the degree of influence that a father has on an individual's life. I said, recently, I've been noticing my own life, I've been thinking a lot, what would Dad think of this? What would Dad think of this? This situation or that situation? I'm amazed, you know. 56 years old, and I'm still thinking about that. Comes up every once in a while. Well, our Heavenly Father, I'm convinced that my natural father, in a way, represents my Heavenly Father. And that when God brings us to places in Him, He will use something that we can relate to in the natural to demonstrate Himself. And so we need to constantly think about, when it comes to the things that we do, what would the Father think of this? Would He be impressed with this at all? Pretty hard to impress God. Tell you what He's impressed with, though, is our hearts. He really is. A heart that is devoted to Him. A heart that is not ho-hum in Him. Stand with me, please. I want us to just think about the Holy Spirit right now. Think about His work in your life that He's already done. But think about what you'd like to have happen in 2010. As you think about that, need to remember it, and then in the days ahead, mention those things to the Holy Spirit about what you'd like to see take place in 2010. I'm going to give you a little key to feeling secure and confident in coming to Him. When God asked Solomon what he wanted, Solomon did not ask for anything for himself other than to lead God's people because of his position in life. Solomon asked for wisdom to be able to lead the awesome nation of Israel. And God said, because you have asked for this and not riches and gold, I'm going to give you what you asked for, but also the riches and gold as well. So a key in seeking God of what God, of what we want God to have, one of the major keys, is ask outside ourselves. First of all, ask for something that will advance the kingdom of God. First of all. That seems to have a way into God's heart. You're actually showing God that you're willing to forfeit your desires to advance His desire. That goes a long way with God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, God, for your precious Holy Spirit. We're so glad that He's here with us this day, God. We're so glad that your direction and guidance is on us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can count on His direction and guidance into 2010 and beyond, God. Lord, your word tells us that your Holy Spirit would show us things to come. Show us the things that we need to know, God, concerning things to come. Now, Lord, we also ask, dear God, that you would show us the things that we need to do in order to prepare for that which is to come. We ask, Lord, first of all, that your kingdom of God, your kingdom might advance, Lord. That your kingdom might increase. So we ask for those things that would increase the kingdom of God here in the nation of Canada and on Prince Edward Island. We ask, dear God, that the Holy Spirit would move us into being strategic, being in strategic positions in order that the kingdom of God might advance on Prince Edward Island. Lord, we thank you for your ability working within us to bring this to pass. And we recognize, dear God, that we're asking for something from the supernatural realm to come into and manifest in the natural. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise for that, Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I ask, dear God, that you, being the awesome creator of the universe who has created us, might deposit into each one, each individual in this place, your heart's desire, so we would know exactly what to ask for. We give you thanks and praise for it right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Has anybody got a word or anything like that? Vision, a word that you'd like to share?
Earlier, when Pastor Bill had asked us to just take a minute and pray in the Spirit, this was what I was impressed with, that the Lord was saying that as Noah and his people were in the ark, when the storm came, God didn't have to worry about them as they did what they were instructed. And so it is with us. If we keep our covering over us, we will walk in that protection, and when the storms of life come, we won't be hit.
Amen. And there is a number of prophetic words that speak about the glory and the wave of God coming, but there are some who really believe that there's going to be something take place in the natural as well concerning that. So there, we need to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And the way we can hear corporately is as all submitting to one another in love, caring about one another, and walking in obedience to the Lord. We want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah.